So the rabbis teach us that there are two things that disturb the normal order of life. One is hate, and the other is love. And the truth is that this morning, given the dangers of the world, the difficulties we face, the problems that beset us as individuals, as Americans, as Jews, as lovers of Israel, one could easily talk about hate. But it is Pesach. So this morning, shading into this afternoon, I want to talk to you about love. Because even though we call Pesach the festival of freedom, the truth is that you could as easily, in some ways, call it the holiday of love. Let's start with ourselves. What was the tragedy that befell our people in the land of Egypt? The obvious tragedy was that they were slaves, but according to the great Hasidic rabbi, the Belzer Rebbe, that wasn't the greatest tragedy. The greatest tragedy wasn't that they were slaves, but that they got used to being slaves. That they no longer thought their condition was abnormal. That day after day and year after year, it wore away at their souls until they were okay with slavery. And so the first lesson that the children of Israel had to learn, and they learned it from Moses, was a lesson of self-love. And so when we talk about our own enslavements, we realize that that's the first lesson. And self-love doesn't mean that you think you're great. Self-love is actually not another word for narcissism. If you really love yourself, then like other people you love, you want to see yourself be better. You want to grow, you want to change. You want to be flexible and open. You don't want to be smug and self-satisfied and arrogant and narcissistic. You can't celebrate a Pesach Seder alone because nobody is that good. But you ought to realize that you're in the image of God. That you're of infinite worth. That you should be treated that way and treat yourself that way. Which means to make demands of yourself, to have expectations for yourself, to feel inspired, to want your soul to rise like a candle, always higher and aspiring. You begin breaking your slavery with self-love. But of course you don't end there. Ben Azai said the great commandment of the Torah is V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, you should love others as you love yourself. And here let me talk about the particular kind of love that we sing about on Pesach. Do you know what book we read on Pesach? Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs. And if you've never read the Song of Songs, all I can say is, if it were a movie, it would at least be an R, and probably an X. It is a sexual love poem. That's what it is. And it's right there in the Torah. Not only is it in the Torah, that is the Tanakh, the larger canon of the Hebrew Bible, not only is it part of the Torah, but Rabbi Akiva said, if all of the Torah is kadosh, is holy, the Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, is kadosh kadoshim, the holiest of the holy. Rabbi Akiva. Not only because he understood this as a love poem between Israel and God, but also because you should realize that the imagery of the body and of sexuality runs throughout our tradition. Do you know what the mystics try to achieve? If you read the Jewish mystics and you study Kabbalah, what the mystics are trying to achieve is called divekut, which means clinging. Do you know where that term comes from? It comes from a verse in the book of Bereshit of Genesis, Al kein ya'azov adam et aviv imo v'davak bi'ishto. Therefore, a man will leave his father and mother and cling to his wife. In other words, it is a sexual image, and it's the highest to which a soul can aspire. Judaism is not ashamed of the fact that people have bodies. That's one of the ways that you express love. So when we talk about loving the other, we're talking about it in every way that you think of love. God gave us bodies. They can't be bad. In fact, I will try with you right now an experiment. Think of what it would feel like to touch the hand of the person sitting next to you. Just imagine what it would, don't do it, just imagine what it would feel like. I want you seriously not to do it, but to imagine it, okay? Now just imagine it. Once you think you have imagined what it would feel like, then touch their hand. And you realize that physical touch is infinitely more powerful even than the most vivid imagining. There is something sacred and beautiful about love expressed through the body. It's why when you bless your children on Friday night, you put your hands on their head. That's an expression of love as well. And that, too, is part of the Pesach holiday, of Shir HaShirim, of the Song of Songs, of the love we show to one another. But, of course, that love broadens beyond individuals, which is why when you ask someone about Pesach, what they think of immediately are families. That we gather around the Seder table with people who are closest to us, with our friends, with our families, with those whom we love. Because what did we read in the Haftarah last week? What's going to happen when the Messiah comes? Malachi doesn't say when the Messiah comes, lions will lay down with lambs, and the whole order of nature will change. That's not what he says. He says, "Veheshiv lev avot al banim, v'lev banim al avotam." God will turn parents to children and children to parents. In other words, when the Messiah comes, we will learn properly how to love one another. Even in families, parents and children, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, aunts, uncles, friends, all the encircled ring of those who share your life and whom you love. And you can see that what Pesach teaches us is that love moves in wider and wider and wider circles. What was created on Pesach? If you ask yourself, was there anything that was actually created on Pesach? The answer is yes, something very important was created on Pesach. I'm looking at it now, the Jewish people. They were slaves in Egypt, but they didn't have any cohesion as a people until that moment when they were liberated and all of a sudden felt loved. Because to be the recipient of that warmth of love makes you open like a flower. And that which was gnarled and closed inside Egypt, which was dark and lonely and oppressed, all of a sudden, in the sunlight of liberation, became a people. Which brings us to the ultimate form of love, which is love of God. That's, of course, what Pesach ultimately turns us to. Ahavat Hashem, love of God, who, after all, we read in our prayers, has Ahavat Olam, eternal love for us. When Moses says to Pharaoh, I will never look upon your face again, why does he say that? Because he doesn't want to see the face of hate. But at the end of Moses' life, what do we read? That he saw God, panim el panim, face to face, because God's face was the face of love. It may be that our everyday discourse, day to day and week to week and year to year, when we talk about Judaism, is talk about peoplehood and Israel and our history and our future, but realize that all of it is carried on currents of love. Without love, we have no tradition. From the first moment when God calls out to Abraham, because what we learn in Deuteronomy, in Devarim, is God says to the Jewish people, it's not because you are the most numerous of people that I have chosen you. In fact, you're the least of peoples. But I loved your ancestors. In other words, in the Torah at least, it seems like God falls in love the way people fall in love. In other words, with no good reason, just falls in love. And when you say to someone, why do you love this person? The best answer is not because she's beautiful, he's handsome, she's accomplished, she's witty, all those things may contribute, but the best answer is what Montaigne wrote about his friend after he died. He said, if you ask me why Etienne was my best friend, all I can say is he was he and I was I. It is mysterious and inexplicable and wonderful. And remarkably enough, at least in the Torah, that's how God falls in love. Mysteriously, inexplicably, and enduringly. So that's what Pesach is about. Is it a festival of freedom? Absolutely. But it celebrates love. Not the love of candy and cards, but a love where souls are obligated and ennobled. A love that imposes responsibilities and promises and futures and hopes. A love that is beautiful and bursting. A love that is of self, of other, of people, and ultimately of whatever it is that brought all of this into being. That's why Pesach happens in the spring. Because seasons get renewed and so do hearts. It's a famous line in English poetry. In spring, a young man's fancy turns to love. And that's what happens on Pesach. Ultimately, the two ideas come together. Because after all, a real love, a passionate love, a purposeful love, can only come from a heart set free. So as they take their first steps into the wilderness of Sinai for the first time, the Jewish people could look at one another and realize that they were free, which means that they were free to love. And, thank God, so are we. Shabbat Shalom.